I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. We've got a returning guest, Graham Ferrari. He's the president of Glasshouse Brands. Graham, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks a lot for having me, Jeff. It's great to be here. And you told me beforehand that it was 2 years. It feels like 2 years and 2 days and 2 decades at the same time. So good to be back.
Actually, I got to tell you, it feels like 2 decades, right? 2 years actually goes by pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does. Well, I always think cannabis, every day is Monday and every week's a year. So that's the 2 decades part. But I do think you're right. There's a thing called Kairos and Chronos time. And one is, how the days can seem long, but the year's short. And I think it's going to apply particularly impactfully here when we look back on this and, see it felt like really long days, but then we're going to look back from the top of a tall mountain with a great view of the way that we've changed the world. And that's going to feel pretty good.
Exactly. And I think, I actually listened to the show yesterday from 2 years ago, and I was just curious on what we were talking about, but we were really focusing on, the legal California cannabis market. You had talked about, opening the first recreational adult use dispensary in Santa Barbara. You guys had launched Forbidden Flowers with Bella Thorne, and, a lot has happened since then. So, you guys went public in the last 2 years. So why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about that and, how it was getting prepped, and what's been going on, with you and the company and everything else.
Yeah, a lot has happened. And I'd be curious. I wonder how many of my predictions of how things were going to go were wrong about listening to something from 2 years ago. It certainly has been a roller coaster. Anybody, 10-year overnight success, I guess, is the path that we're on. People who, aren't involved will look back and just think this happened. And when you're living it and in the trenches, you realize that nothing just happens. You have to make it happen. So, 2 years, a lot to cover. So, the big things is, as you mentioned, we went public. We were kind of the last of the big cannabis IPOs. June won't be years exactly. So we're, call it a year and a half into that. It was a really interesting process. I think we kind of got out just in time on that, and before the market really started falling apart. Got out, we got some dings and bruises on the way, but we made, and then if you look back, I think, we're probably the third largest capital raise in U.S. cannabis in the last 2 years. And, number one's probably Trulieve, number two or Curaleaf, or maybe the other way around. So, we're in some pretty sizable company there. And the reason that we did it was because of this unicorn farm that we found down at Camarillo. It's the second largest greenhouse in the United States, which is where people always start. And I guess I just fell victim to it as well. But what's actually more interesting about it is that it's in an ideal climate, and it has a lot of really interesting technology to grow great weed at very good, low cost, right? And the reason I say that the size of the third largest, or the size is the third most important thing, is if you don't, nobody needs more crappy weed, and nobody needs more grown too expensively weed. What you need is more great weed for grown efficiently, right? And that's when the scale becomes exciting, because now that we're growing great weed at the sunny California sun, which is where 90% of people want their cannabis to come from, you're doing it really efficiently with this, technology, positive pressure greenhouses and roof washing robots and on-site power generation, solar panels and ebb and flood floors, right? So now you've got great weed for a great price. That's when you turn the dial and really scale it up. And, I think arguably we've got maybe the only platform that could truly be a national scale flower brand, right? So this greenhouse is 5.5 million square feet. We have turned on the first phase of it, which is about 1.5 million square feet, which adds to 500,000 square feet that we still operate. So
crazy.
That makes us the largest greenhouse grower of cannabis on the planet, as far as I know. And then we've got another 4 million square feet, basically on idle standby. It's growing tomatoes today, so that we can turn it on. And we actually just recently announced that we are planning to turn on the next 1 million square feet this year. And so, that'll be a 84% or something production increase for us. And the amazing thing right now is selling it faster than we can grow it, right? Which is exactly when you want to bring more capacity on, but not when you plan for it, right? So we did all the planning for this when people told us we were nuts. And what in the world do you do it bringing on, you know, 5.5 million square feet in the middle of a market that's crashing? Well, turns out that when no one else can make the investment or has the, you know, kind of the guts to make it, is exactly when you want to make it. And so now we've made that investment. We own that property. We did the first retrofit, and now our further expansion gets really economically efficient. And our operations team is better than they've ever been. And it's, I think, going to work out really well.
And so, wait, can you just talk about the tomatoes for a second?
Sure. It's not what I expected you to say, by the way. I didn't expect you to dive down a tomato lane, but I'm happy to talk about it.
Let me tell you, I grow a lot of tomatoes, so that's just piqued my interest. But are you guys growing? Like, what are you doing with them?
Yeah, so we're actually just the landlord to it. I'm sure you're a better tomato grower than I am. That's not my skill set. So, well, we're a landlord, but it makes a really great setup because we've got these greenhouses. You don't want them empty. You don't want to have the carrying cost of empty greenhouses. But they're amazing greenhouses. They're made for growing tomatoes. Tomatoes are typically like a 5% margin business. So you think about all the efficiency, all the CapEx and investments, you know, that have been made to be able to grow tomatoes where you grow them for a dollar and you go home and say it was a good day when you sell them for $1.05. So they're, you know, covering their cost with their greenhouses are being operated, which is better than them not being operated. But we've got, you know, a good setup when, like, you know, here we are, ready to turn on another 1 million square foot greenhouse. We said, you know, when this crop finishes, don't replant it. We're coming in. We'll start placing our orders and get ready to do a retrofit with the target of having that greenhouse have weed in it by the end of the year.
It's amazing. And, you know, it reminds me. So I remember you guys also had bought Plus, products, which I got to tell you, I've literally tried everything. When it comes to edibles for sleep, because I don't know what's wrong with me. I have a problem sleeping. I always have. But the Plus products, the sleep with the CBN, I've bought a ton of them.
It's amazing.
It not only, by the way, it works incredible. And what I'm always amazed by is that they're so small, like the cubes are tiny. And they're, you know, other gummies that I've had have been much larger and have definitely less of a kick. But these are also so delicious, which is a problem too.
Right? Yeah. And so since he bought it, we also reformulated and kind of relaunched it. And I think took a great product and made it fantastic. So and now, which means the vegan as well, they don't melt. They don't get hard. The flavor is even better than it was. There's lots of room for cannabinoids in there. And I actually, you mentioned the form factor. They're amazing. I'm super sensitive. I can smoke a lot of weed, but I'm pretty sensitive to eating it. Yeah. For one of the things I like about them is, you know, like for the Plus one, the sleep ones, for example, we got 1 milligram THC, a 5 milligram, and a 10 milligram, right? So I can really, we call it finding your just right, right? Which is, for me, I start with a 1 and maybe I have 2, right? And other people are 5 and maybe they have 2, or maybe you do 3 of the 1s, right? And this kind of ability to titrate it and get just to where you want to be, no more, no less, I think is a real strength of the product. They're not made to be candy. They're made to bring, you know, experience. And so smaller size also means less sugar, less calories and things like that.
Yeah. Aside from like the actual physical gummy, what I like that you guys have done, because I used those products prior to you guys acquiring them as well, which were still good, but, you know, even the packaging, like the round container.
Yeah,
there's something about it, even just to the touch.
Yep.
I know, you know, most people are like, "Oh, but it's just packaging." But it actually makes me feel, it feels like a superior product by the way that the packaging feels. And I was definitely caught off guard by it because, you know, I was like, "Oh, you know, you guys bought this brand, I'm going to try it again," because I had used them in the past and not that I disliked them, but I did have other products that I like better, mm-hmm. and these I absolutely love now.
No, I love it. Right. Thank you very much.
They really are great. I have found that I have to, like, you know, take the 10 milligram one because 5 milligrams doesn't seem to work on me anymore.
Yeah. But, you know, you got the 10s and, you know, if you ever need 2 of those, you can have that too, right? It's that ability to dose just right. It's good. I mean, and I agree with the packaging. Great. I actually have me sitting here on my desk. They end up being my fidget on, you know, phone calls and stuff like that. I just like playing packaging.
do the exact same thing. It's so funny. I actually also use them for other things too. Like I have paper clips in them. Like I don't like, I like reusing them because they're containers. So
we've got some stews there too. Not to talk about Plus too much, but we've got some solventless stews there, which are awesome. Full spectrum, and we just launched one that I'm a big fan of, which is a THCV stew. So it's got THCV, tetrahydrocannabinol barrel, THC. And if you're, you know, particularly if you're a quote unquote sativa fan, this goes even further in that direction. It, at least for me and others have talked to it, doesn't bring on the munchies as well. So it gives you that kind of concentrated, focused without the munchies. And if you've never tried THCV, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I went through like a period of using THCV for like focus and stuff, but then I kind of like, I don't know, I kind of forgot about it. But yeah, I love trying new stuff. So I'm, especially like new products, new brands, different marketing, you know, it's obviously our business, right? So, Graham, talk to us a little bit about maybe some of the other, brands in the portfolio. I know flowers a while ago,
you know,
you guys have really kind of grown, in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And, still going. So I guess, you know, picking up on the thread of, we went public to buy the Amazing Greenhouse. Everything in cannabis starts with, the plant. So, being able to grow high quality at low cost and then eventually, do it at the largest scale anywhere on the planet. It's the second largest greenhouse in of any crop, and we can't wait till it's all filled with weed, is the foundation, right? So Last House Farms is obviously where we started, and it's still, and I guess has been now for, I guess, going on 4 years, been a top five, usually top three flower brand in the state of California. Obviously, California's got a pretty discerning customer, educated, you know, 27 years of legal cannabis experience. So, you know, sometimes people say we're the fourth largest, you know, brand in the state. I'm, you know, I look from, yeah, well, there's only five licenses. So congrats on being, you know, in the top five where there are only five options. In California, you know, there's probably 1,600 flower brands, and they're all competing on quality and price and branding and the distribution, et cetera. So to be able to stay in the top of that category is a pretty big accomplishment over years. And then we have the Plus, which we talked about. We also have Allswell now, which is our, I'll call it kind of our price, our value line, right? And we actually, so Allswell has flower, and, you know, great product, amazing price. We did that particularly because we think with everything going on, the economy, the cannabis is going to be called recession resilient, but not necessarily recession proof, which I think is a good thing because the things that are recession proof tend to be things that people are addicted to. And I think one of the benefits of cannabis is that people aren't addicted to it. So they can trim their spending, but what we wanted them to do, be able to have as an option where they could get a great product for less money. And so we have some awesome flower. We also hit a really interesting kind of metric or milestone with our Allswell gummies. And that is, it's 10 milligram gummies out the door with taxes paid in California for $10. Yeah. And the reason the reason I think that's particularly important is an illicit, untested, you don't know what's in it. You don't know that the dosage is always going to be the same. You don't know who made it gummy. Is also $10, right? So this idea that the legal market can't economically outcompete the illicit market is one that we challenge. And we actually think that's, you know, that's our biggest opportunity. The illicit market is a real consumer who's already in the market. And what we need to do is show them better value than they can, you know, they can get, along with the safety and the testing. So, you know, people might drink bathtub gin if it's half the cost of, you know, Seagram's, right? But when the price is the same, who picks it, right? And so now we've got a gummy that's tested and taxed and still the same price as the illicit market. And I think when we can bring that, especially to the rest of the country, you're going to see a real explosion and you're going to see, you know, some real wins for the licensed side of cannabis.
So a question for you, because we, you know, I don't know when we had recorded 2 years ago, but obviously it was during the pandemic. And I feel like everyone has gone through the motions the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, pandemic, recession, COVID, you know, it's just like, we can't get a break. But what I find really interesting is that there's been a shit ton of movement when it comes to cannabis legalization. I've lived in New York, obviously it's legal now, which we've been waiting for a long time. And, you know, it's kind of been a domino effect from COVID through now on more and more states online. And so, you know, at Philo, we literally work with so many mainstream brands. So think like, you know, the P&Gs, the Unilevers, the Nestles of the world. And, you know, we have 420 coming up, right? So any insight from you on, you know, do you think this year is going to be even bigger for, you know, mainstream brands? You know, you see the normal guys like Ben & Jerry's and Adidas and whatnot, kind of, you know, popping into 420. But do you think this year is going to be even bigger just because there's such a, you know, it's no longer niche. Like cannabis is totally like part of every, it's part of everybody's lives in some capacity now, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, I think foundationally, I think anybody who thinks they don't like cannabis just hasn't figured out how they like it yet. Right. So whether that's from the tried and true two buds in a Ziploc, you know, rolling a joint kind of mentality to the, you know, balm for your arthritic fingers or your tennis elbow or a bath bomb for relaxation, right? Like there's something in this for everybody, which means you're going to see it everywhere. And the great thing is we're making progress every day. It's not as fast as any of us would want, of course, but it is pretty one direction, right? Like we're only getting more normalized. The stigma is only going down. This last week, right? The NBA announced that they're lifting their ban on cannabis, both consumption as well as investment, right? So like, you know, if that's not mainstream America, right? Like, I don't know what is. And now these guys, is there any reason they can't be an ambassador and smoke it? There's, as far as I know, they could, right? Like, they're not allowed to not use it. So we've got investors who've been quiet, but they don't have to be anymore. They can invest in it, which means they can have incentives to promote it to their demographics and things like that. So, you know, I think the Ben and Jerry's were early on the right side of history. More and more, you're going to see people here. And you know, I think the Athletic door, actually, that the NBA opened is probably bigger than it at first seems, because if they're doing it, then aren't marathoners doing it and triathletes doing it and the football guys are doing it? And hey, like, what's the biggest challenge we have out there is opiates. And this is an alternative that we have evidence that it reduces opiate usage, which means reduces opiate addiction, which means reduces opiate death. Like, why wouldn't you want to put this front and center, right? Why? What's the argument that this isn't making things not only not worse, but better, right? And so I think you start to put that together. And how long is it before Nike wants to be on the side of helping recovery with cannabinoids in some form, right? Like, I can't see that they don't eventually get there. So it only becomes a question of the timing.
Yeah, I think we definitely have come, you know, the last few years has been kind of a incredible, I don't want to say revolution, but just an incredible like leap, you know, among consumers, right? And it's not like people in their 20s and 30s and maybe even 40s. It's everybody. It's grandparents, right? They're, you know, utilizing, you know, cannabis creams for arthritis. And like you said before, bath bombs, which by the way, I actually used one for the first time like 2 weeks ago and it was amazing, you know?
It is, man. That's what I mean. It's like, you know, you like cannabis and you just found another way that you liked it, right? Imagine the person who thinks that it's horrible, and then they jump in that experience and like, oh, okay. I don't want to smoke a joint, but sort of like this.
Hey, Graham, I think it's, you know, it's a use case perspective, because like I don't smoke a lot, and I don't do edibles a lot to get high. I actually utilize it for the part of my life that I need help with, which is sleep. I mean, that's my, like every night I take it. And I will occasionally take it at a party, but you know, for me, cannabinoids affect me differently than other people, right? So I tend to get, you know, fairly like, not anxious, paranoid, and I don't like that, you know? And so it's like, I know the use cases for me and cannabis. And then there's lots of my friends who are like, you know, they want to party and they're, you know, smoking and taking edibles. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that, but I just can't, you know? Because you know, it's the chemistry of my body that just doesn't work, or I haven't found a product yet that is like, you know, unique for me. But I think that's the thing. Like everyone has different use cases, you know, with cannabis, which is really, it's great to see. And it's a plant, right? It's just like, why take pharmaceutical medications when you can take something that you feel great the next morning with no hangover?
Yeah, we need to recognize that we are identical with nature, not on top of it. And it should be our first resort, not our last one.
Totally. So Graham, before we run out of time, anything like coming up, you know, any big projects, anything, you know, that you could share, maybe something that you guys are working on?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, a whole area of our business we haven't touched on yet is retail. I think when we talked last time, we probably had one store, maybe two or three. We're now 9, about to be 10. We opened like 2 more stores, one in Isla Vista, which is the college town for UCSB, in Santa Barbara. It's a 1-of-1 store, and it's beautiful, and they're perfectly fits its environment. Another one is San Ynez, which is over the hills and the kind of the rural area, the horse country and wine country of Santa Barbara, also, I think, fits its environment perfectly. And then we brought the Natural Healing Center group of stores into the Glasshouse family. So that's Morro Bay and Grover Beach and Lemoore, and about to be Turlock. So exciting to see the retail presence grow. If there's one thing that, you know, everybody in California cannabis needs, it's more retail doors selling products. We've got, you know, probably a fifth of the dispensaries that we should have in legal dispensaries, I should say, that we should have here. And we've got half the dispensaries that Oklahoma has, but 10 times the people. I was just looking at some stats, and, you know, we have basically the lowest dispensaries per capita of any state in the country, which is obviously pretty broken. So happy that we can help there. We also have a small farms initiative at our stores to make sure that, you know, small farmers and the craft guys are represented on the shelf, accessible to consumers. We think the best market is a market where all the choices are available to consumers. You know, I'm a big fan of Russian River's Pliny the Elder, and you can essentially only get it in Santa Rosa. And so I love it. I mean, it's awesome with a steak or whatnot, but if I'm, you know, hanging out at the beach all day, it's not actually my first choice, right? And so people can find that Pliny the Elder IPA, and they can also find Mexican lager for easy drinking, and, you know, that choice is what makes a good healthy market. So we're excited to be part of that. I think the next big thing for us is continually, you know, operating, growing better weed, and dropping the cost to do it. And then we've got our greenhouse expansion, where we're adding that next 1 million square feet this year. So I think that'll keep me pretty busy, at least. Happy to have all that on the radar and be making some progress in California cannabis. And, you know, I think the other thing, I guess, is on the public side, we've guided people that we're going to be cash flow positive in Q2. So, a California cannabis company making money.
Incredible.
This is, I think, a unicorn out there these days, but I think we're going to have the chance to be run first.
I love it. Well, listen, always great to have you back on. And congrats on going public, but congrats on, you know, the acquisitions and the great products, and really awesome to hear great news coming out of California.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was good to catch up. I'm not much down here on the West Coast stuff. Let me know. Come take a tour of the new farm.
Tomatoes too.
Yes. Yeah, we'll get you some fresh tomatoes right off the vine. You can compare them to your homebrew.
All right, Graham.
Okay, talk soon.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.